feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. There are several things that are highly valued by God, and one of those is someone who keeps a commitment. We have been looking at this over the past couple of Searchlight programs. In our study from Judges chapter 11, we saw a man named Jephthah who was willing to keep a commitment to God even though it hurt his daughter. John also showed us in Psalm 15 that God is blessed by someone who keeps a commitment to him even if it hurts. As we ended our last program, John was telling us that one of the things that commitment does for us is cure complacency. Let's now join Pastor John as he continues talking about this point.
It's an analogy that I've used before, but it's an important one. It's like a locomotive, a steam engine, let's say, a train going down the track. Because it's being fed wood or it's being fed coal, and the fire is roaring and the steam is being produced, moving that engine. If you stop feeding that engine, stop feeding that fire, the coal or the wood or the fuel, guess what? The train will keep on rolling. And the people in the passenger car will look out and they won't notice anything wrong. And the people in the dining car will still be having their coffee and their biscuits, you see. But it's slowing down imperceptibly when you stop feeding, when you're no longer committed to shoveling in the coal, tossing in the wood. Now you're saying, oh, that's too hard and it's affecting my family, or I've got an arthritic elbow or whatever it might be. I need to just sort of kick back. The train still goes on its previous momentum, but suddenly it comes to a stop, 6 or 7 miles down the track. And everybody looks, what's going on? What's going on? The problem wasn't right then. The problem was 6 or 7 miles back up track when they stopped feeding the fuel to the fire. And that's what happens to Christians. They think, I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not at prayer meeting. I'm not doing the stuff I said I would do, and things are going along great. Hey, it does. Momentum is still going, but suddenly, you're at a standstill. You're off track. Things have come to a halt. Your marriage is going sour. Your kids aren't doing well. Your life is feeling empty. Depression sets in. Finances dry up. Problems plague you. And you say, well, what's going on? What's going on is what happened 6 or 7 months ago, way up track, when you stopped keeping the commitment that you made to the Lord. See? You promised him. You poured your heart out to him. You said, oh, Lord, this is what I need to do and I'm going to do, Lord. I know that you're calling me to be this kind of man, to do these kinds of things. And Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And then we don't. We're just cruising along and we pull back and we kick back and we then wonder, way down the track, why am I now at a standstill? Because months ago, you stopped honoring the commitment that you made. And this train was slowing down even though you didn't see it or sense it at the time until you're stopped dead in the tracks, you see. Amazing. What cures that? Commitment. This is what I'm going to do, Lord, Sunday by Sunday, morning by morning, whatever it might be, this is what I'm going to do because it's right in your sight. See, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, didn't he? To that church that had left their first love, remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember how it used to be. Repent and do your first works again. Do what you used to do Revelation 2, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, "You've lost or left, I should say, your first love." Jesus said, go back and do what you used to do. Get back on the track of commitment again. What did you used to do? Well, I used to be at church. I used to take time and pray. I used to give the tithe and share my faith and praise you anyway. I used to do those. Do them again. Do it once more. You see, it cures apathy. A lackadaisical laziness that can creep into my soul so easily and rob me of the blessings that God wants to send to me and to my family. So, John, are you saying that there's a dynamic of power in sacrificial commitment? Absolutely. God will bless you and bless me if we say, Lord, this is right in your sight, and this is what I'm going to do, even though if it's difficult, even though if it hurts, Lord, I'm going to follow through and do what you told me to. Gerald Black, one of the most esteemed lawyers in all of the Deep South, Atlanta, Georgia. He was a judge, an effective judge, an influential judge for many, many years. When he was 21 years old, as a young lawyer, just out of law school, a legal genius, really, the governor of Georgia was coming to Atlanta, and they asked this young upcoming superstar to introduce the governor at this large convention. It was a huge honor. He was excited about that. He spent great amounts of time preparing his comments. This was a big moment for his career, for his life. The judge was going to, or the lawyer at that time was going to introduce the governor on a Monday. He got a call from one of the governor's aides saying that the date had to be pushed back to Wednesday. And he said to that aide, "Well, tell the governor I can't introduce him." "Why is that? This is your time. This is a great privilege to introduce the governor, man, here in Atlanta. This is your opportunity." He said, "Because on Wednesday night I have prayer meeting." He said, "I have committed to be there on Wednesday nights. At my church," he said, "15 of us gather together usually. Sometimes 20. And I will not let the opportunities of men or the needs of state get in the way of my commitment to the kingdom." Amen. And he didn't introduce the governor that Wednesday night. He was in prayer meeting. His colleagues would say, "That's stupid. Be reasonable. You can't keep those kinds of commitments. Come on, Gerald. You're an upcoming lawyer. This is your big chance." Gerald said, No, I've committed to be at prayer meeting, and that's where I'm going to be." God blessed him. He became a very, very influential, famous, wealthy, respected judge. And as I said, he died recently with thousands of people attending his funeral and honoring him as a man of unusual integrity. He made a pledge. He kept his word. And God said, "I like that, and I'm going to honor him," you see. Interesting. Secondly, commitment not only cures apathy, but secondly, commitment rewards eternally. Anything you give to the Lord, anything you do for the Lord that costs you, that hurts a bit, anything that you do for him, anything you give to him, I promise you, when you get to heaven, when I get to heaven, we're not going to say, "Oh, I wish I wouldn't have given that or done that. I wish I would have instead just splurged on my family. I wish I didn't get involved in that ministry or give that money because I wish I would have gave my daughter a new car or got a boat for our family." You won't say that. I guarantee when you get to heaven, when I get there one day, we'll say, "Lord, thank you for letting us sacrifice a bit or give to you. Thank you for allowing us to keep the commitment that I made to you." Because now, when we enter into heaven, listen, the Bible says to you and me, he is able to keep that which is committed unto him until that day. You're not going to regret anything, precious people, that you let go of, or anything that you don't plunge into, activities, hobbies, material things, whatever it might be, because you said, I'm committed to this, and I'm giving it to the Lord like I promised to. You'll never regret that. And you can say, well, I don't know if that's true. Well, just stick around for eternity. You'll see. I promise you that. Anything you let go of in keeping the commitment you made to the Lord, any little league game you might have missed, any self-indulgence you gave up, any disappointment perhaps to a family member because you already had another commitment, you'll never regret that when you say, I'm seeking first the kingdom. Watch and see how God will bless you not only here but reward you eternally. Commitment. It cures apathy. You're not going to be going through dips if you keep to the commitments that you made to him previously. Commitment. It'll reward you eternally. Ask Jephthah. He's in God's hall of faith. He's in heaven with his daughter. And let me tell you something. His daughter and Jephthah aren't saying, man, I wished I didn't follow through. And dad, I wish you didn't follow through. They're saying, praise be to God for letting us make this simple commitment that now we are rewarded forever throughout eternity. Number three, finally, commitment not only cures apathy and the low cycles that we get in spiritually, and not only rewards you eternally, but commitment, number three, is conceived at Calvary. It's conceived at Calvary. What do you mean? Where does commitment start? How can I be a committed person? How can I follow in the footsteps of a Jephthah if necessary to say, not even family will have priority over my service to you, Lord, in doing what you're calling me to. No matter what it is, Lord, how do I get there? How can I do that? Only one way. I go to the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter 12 says to you and to me, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable that you give your lives to the Lord, that you commit your ways and follow through in light of what he did for me, what he did for you. You see, Jesus Christ gave everything for me that I might have abundant life and live eternally. And when I see what he's done for me, I can trust him as I go to him and say, I'm going to follow through on the commitment I made to you that day, Lord, because look what you did for me. You only want the best for me. You got great things ahead of me. I know that you want to see me excel and do well. You proved it on the cross. Commitment, it's conceived at Calvary when I go to the cross and see what he did for me. You see, Jephthah, this judge, pictures Jesus, the judge of all the earth. Jephthah was pushed out by his brothers. Get out of here, just like Jesus was ignored and made fun of by his brothers who didn't believe in him, who said he's crazy. Jephthah was the son of an illegitimate relationship, seemingly. His father and a whore, a harlot. They said of Jesus, he was born in illegitimacy. Jephthah and Jesus. Jephthah was surrounded by some rough, tough renegades. These guys that came around him and were there with him in the Tob mob. Jesus was surrounded by rough, tough renegades. Galileans, fishermen, unlearned and ignorant men they were called. Guys that were from the north, tough. And he was the friend of sinners and publicans and put down for that too. Jephthah was asked at one point, save us, we're in trouble, the men of Israel said, just like one day Jesus will save Israel from the hand of her enemies when he comes back again. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah as he crossed over the Jordan River. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus as he was baptized in the Jordan River. Jephthah made a promise. I'll sacrifice to you, oh Lord, if you give victory to me. Jesus laid down his life. Not the life of his only daughter like Jephthah did, but Jesus was the only son who gave his life freely and laid it down, even though it hurt him physically, spiritually, in every way beyond anything we could describe today. He was crushed, he was bruised, he was beaten. The father turned his back on the son because of a commitment that the son made. I seek not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That John Corson ultimately might be saved, you see. Jesus followed through, even though he sweat drops of blood. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he followed through and did what he was committed to. Just like Jephthah, oh no, but followed through and did what he committed to. And here's the good news for you as we close this session out. Your judge, Jesus Christ, even when I am faithless, when I don't keep my commitments, when I drop the ball, when I don't fuel that fire, when I don't follow through, when I don't do what I know that I promised to or ought to do, listen, the Bible says, even when we are faithless, he is faithful still. He cannot what? Deny himself. Jesus is the greater than Jephthah who says, Johnny, even if you choose not to follow through and miss out on the blessings that I would give to you, both in this life and eternally too, I am still, John, I am still committed to you. Even if you are faithless, I'm going to be faithful still because I can't deny myself. And Jephthah, who followed through, hey, is simply a poor picture of what Jesus did. When he gave everything that day and continues to, saying, I will never turn my back on you. Well, if that's the case, Lord, if you're not going to turn your back on me, then I can just kind of become a little bit apathetical about you. Yes, I can. And miss out on the blessings in this life and eternally. I ask you, Chip Wright, follow through on the commitments that you've made. In those desperate times, in those tough days, when you were on your knees and tears rolled down your cheeks, or when you lifted your hands, or whatever it might have been, Lord, if you, then I will do it. Follow through. John Mark, the Lord heard the commitment that you made to Tammy a couple of weeks ago when you said, I will and I do. You better. And say, no matter what comes, for better or for worse, no matter what she does, no matter how I feel, no matter what takes place, I'm going to do what I promised to do until death separates us. I'm going to stay with this lady. I'm going to share my heart and show her love. No matter how I feel, no matter what happens, I'm making, even if it kills me, and it won't, but even if it should, I'm going to be the husband I promised to be. I'm going to stay with her for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. You know the promise you made, Mitch. You understand. You remember in those hours, at those days, when you were before the Lord and you were saying, Lord, I need you desperately. And Lord, I promise that this is the kind of guy that I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do because I see it in your word and I hear it in my ear. Do it, Mitch. Whatever it is he told you to do, whatever he said for you to do, whatever you promised to do, do it. And watch and see how the train begins to pick up steam again, Jerry Fisher. Watch and see how momentum builds once more and you're starting to move down the track with greater speed and greater velocity than ever before because you're saying, okay, I might have slipped back or I might have fallen away, but I remember what I said. I remember the pledge I made, the commitment that I promised that day, and I'm going to start shoveling in again and I'm going to start doing what I promised to, even if it hurts me. Even if my family doesn't understand, even if my friends say you're crazy, it's going to hurt the Jelly Belly company. If I follow through on that, if I do what I promised to, if I do what God told me to do, it could hurt the corporate, it could hurt. But I don't care. Because God has called me and I have promised, and Jack, you've made commitments to the Lord at many a campfire, at many a quiet spot in the woods when you're chopping down trees or developing property for ministry, whatever it might be. God's heard those prayers. Jack, follow through. Whatever you promised, in brokenness, in honesty, Lord, I'm letting go of this, Lord, for you. I'm letting it go. I'm promising you today, Lord, I'm promising you. I'm giving you this. I'm letting this go. Jack, do it. Continue. Watch and see how God will bless you. No matter how painful it might be, no matter how difficult it might seem. Oh, no, not my daughter. Not my daughter. Not my daughter. If she wouldn't have come to morning worship, if she wouldn't have drove out to the Applegate and went back down the hill, then maybe she would be alive today. Christy, don't come to morning worship. Mary, Ben, I don't want you driving to church. Because Jesse was leaving morning worship. Is that what we say? Keep your commitment to the volleyball team. Don't miss that Little League game. But Wednesday nights or morning worship or whatever, it's a long way to the Applegate and you don't need to go. Blessed will be the man, the woman, who will bow his knee or her knee and say, no matter what the cost is, Lord, we're going to do what we're supposed to do, what's right in your sight, what your word tells us to, and trust that you will do what's best. I'm so glad that my daughter was taken to heaven, leaving morning worship and not leaving a volleyball tournament. Nothing wrong with volleyball. I'm so glad my daughter went to heaven when she was doing that which she felt that she needed to do. Come out at least one morning per week, drive out by herself and seek the Lord, a commitment that she made that she kept. The skeptic could say it cost her, and I would say she's rewarded greatly. And I guess what I'm trying to tell you, precious people, is this. Do what you've promised to do. You say, I forgot what I promised. Here's your challenge. On your way home today, ask the Lord, Lord, what did I promise to you? And he will remind you. What have I committed to you, Lord, in past days and past years? What vows did I make? What promises did I give? Watch and see. He'll say, you promised this, you committed to that, you gave your word about this, you heard my heart on that, and do it. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do thy first works again, and watch and see how he'll bless you. But I failed. But he hasn't. I've dropped the ball. I have too. But listen, when we are faithless, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. And he's going to be the one that will pick you up and take you on and see you through if you give him the opportunity today.
That's all we have to do. Give him the opportunity. God wants to bless you. He wants to respond to your sacrificial commitments. Give him the opportunity. Keep your commitments to God. You will be eternally glad that you did.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
We all go through challenging times in our lives, but we are not alone in these times. We have a faithful and loving God who walks with us day by day. To help us explore the faithfulness of God in these difficult times, Pastor John has made a book available called A Future and a Hope. In this book, John shares some of his personal experiences in dealing with tragedies, including the death of his young wife, and later, the death of his 16-year-old daughter. As John relates his own stories, we see a God who is faithful and compassionate at all times. A future and hope is especially comforting for those who are currently experiencing tragedy or loss in their life. If you would like this book for yourself or someone you know, you can order it from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.